Venture capitalism. It's how companies like Uber and Airbnb get funding to go from being just an idea to being a multi-billion dollar powerhouse. But here's the thing. The venture capitalists deciding who gets their money are overwhelmingly white and male. And the people who get the money are also overwhelmingly white and male. But there are people who want to change that. And one of them is Arlen Hamilton. She's Black and queer, and she's made it her mission to grant funding to startups with founders who are women, people of color, or LGBT through her own firm, Backstage Capital. And her success there? She's about to launch a $36 million fund called It's About Damn Time, has landed her on the cover of the October issue of Fast Company. And she's here in the studio with me. Arlen, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, no small feat here. You are on the October cover of Fast Company. How does that feel?
It is absolutely surreal. It's been very emotional for me because it just, there are so many times where I didn't know if what I was doing was going to lead to anything. And wow, what a way to show that it has in some way.
And let's talk a little bit about your story, because I feel like when I hear stories like this, we think about, one of our producers had a fantastic way of putting it, the garage myth, you know, about this, like, you started from nothing and you slept in, but now you're getting emotional.
It's residual of seeing the cover and just flooded with memories.
Flooded with the
journey here.
Which included, I think, sleeping in some airports. Is that right?
Yeah, I slept in the San Francisco airport for many nights. Just out of necessity, I didn't have anywhere to go to sleep, and it was the safest place I could think of.
Arlen, I want a lot of things. I know we all do, but I don't think I want anything that badly. I'm serious. I don't know if I could sleep on an airport floor. So tell me, what was the driver behind that, and why was venture capitalism the thing that really made you have to do things like that?
Yeah, it was something I signed up for, so I always want to lead with that because I don't want anyone to feel bad for me. I signed up for it. I just had no money. I had maybe $12 in my bank account when I started looking into starting a fund. And the reason I started the fund was because I saw the discrepancies between the amount of capital that was going to straight white men and everyone else in the startup world. To me, venture capital had the most landscape to change a little bit for the better, to introduce more diversity to. It also had the most potential for upside, in my view, for everyone involved, because it is the sliver of the private equity asset class that is supposed to be for the most innovation and the most risk. And so when I looked at how things were a few years ago, I knew that something had to be a complete jolt. I thought, if I'm going to do something and be part of this movement that was I knew was already starting, it has to be pretty bold. And we absolutely are bullish on the underrepresented, underestimated founders. And for us, that includes women across the board, people of color, and LGBTQ founders. So that's who we focus on the most. You know, starting from scratch, I wanted to have a really clear vision of what I wanted. And I looked at, I said, what am I? I said, well, I'm a Black gay woman. And every day I walk down the street as all of those things intersectionally, and they each affect me in some way. And I'm very proud of all of them. So I know a lot of people who are starting companies or who have started companies and were around way before I was, and who just aren't getting the attention or the access to resources and capital that others may be getting.
And that's also a historical issue, I think, for communities of color in the United States generally. Not only do we not have access, and not just communities of color, but women, et cetera, but when you really look at wealth in the United States, not income, but wealth.
Yes.
I always say the most important color in this country tends to be green. Mm. And women of color have about $0 to $5 of average wealth individually. Do you see this as a potential tool to try and build wealth among women and among communities of color?
I do. I'm I don't think I've gotten it figured out yet, but I know that this is where we start. This is the work that I can do to where we start, because I'm fascinated and almost obsessed with the idea of generational wealth for people of color, especially. It's just, it's simple. You know, we haven't had it. So it's something that we absolutely deserve, and we deserve it for ourselves. We deserve to want that for ourselves. And I think that in being a catalyst and building companies, and some of those companies going on to, you know, be worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, you're talking about thousands of jobs being created. You're talking about hundreds or thousands of wealthy people being created from the equity in that. Hopefully that's the plan, you know, that's the goal. And you're also talking about a mind shift, because what I see too is people come up to me and not only are looking for that check that day, but there are people who are saying to me, Black women and Latinx women, saying, I didn't even know, you know, some way or another saying, I didn't even know that I like had the permission to start a company. You know, you asked about venture capital. Why venture capital? It's a means to an end to me, because I have a vision of what I would love the world to look like.
What is that? What's your vision?
It's kind of idealistic, but, you know, I just really see people working together across all stripes and creeds, and all of us thriving, you know, or having the potential to thrive. And I imagine this world where, you know, maybe like a young white male child is being brought up to say, hey, I would love to be like Jessica Matthews, who is a brilliant portfolio company CEO of ours, who is a Black woman, right? That kind of switch where we automatically are, you know, I want to be Bill Gates. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if people's heroes were of all stripes?
Speaking of heroes, I'm just taking a bit of a turn here. We've been talking on the show, on The Takeaway, we've been talking about women in anger and women in rage.
Okay, yes.
You know, and we've especially talked about women of color and anger and rage.
Uh-huh.
This is in the news this week, given our latest example of Serena Williams's fouls, if you will, according to The Empire. What do you have to say about these stereotypes when we talk about women? And these are mostly, a lot of this is also directed at professional women of color. Mm-hmm. So, like, as a Black woman yourself, I can tell you my own stereotypes. But as you see this story unfold, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about this. I have been called intimidating since I was in the fourth or fifth grade. I was taller than most of the kids. I wasn't afraid then to speak my mind. I asked a lot of questions. People have clutched their purses as I walk by. I'm kind of a bigger, you know, woman. The reason, you know, and I know a lot of people have said it, it really hit home for so many of us. So many of us were Serena Williams that night. So many of us. I was yelling at my screen, because I was yelling back at so many people, so many men who have tried to put me in my place, when they certainly have done the exact same thing, or even more so, haven't had the guts to do that, to speak up for themselves. And Serena, she is the reason millions of people watch tennis. She is the reason that tennis is relevant right now. And to chastise her and put and have this double, triple, whatever standard for her was absolutely a dressing down.
Is there a standard that you encounter that's similar in the world of finance, the world of venture capital, the world, or because these are places, as on the tennis court, where you have to be aggressive?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
kind of, there was a crossroads for me early on where I had to decide, am I going to play nice and like sort of dull myself down and not be my true self, or am I going to be myself at the risk of offending someone? And very quickly I realized I either do this as myself or not at all. And I think that that is 100% of the reason that things like the cover of Fast Company have happened, things like the 100 investments that we've made have been able to happen. If I were shy, demure, I don't think I would have gotten the deals that I have gotten. I don't think I would have made the strides that I've made. Not to say that that is not, those are not qualities that are positive qualities. They are also positive. But in a room where most of the time I'm the only Black person or the only woman or both, and usually the only gay person that's out, I have to be 100% me. And I think that it has absolutely, in many cases, intimidated some people. But I'll do that every time.
What do you see, as we wind up, what do you see is the most important financial or economic issue or thing that women of color, gay women of color, women across the board need to be thinking about in this country?
Oh, I ownership, you know, equity. But actually, someone on my team, Amaya, posted something from the NAACP that I read the other day, and it was from maybe the 60s or 70s, and it said, don't buy from a place that would not hire you. I think that's going to be something that really drives me over the next few months and in years, and thinking about that. Where do I put my dollars? And we're very powerful. Women of color are the backbone of the country. We drive culture in the U.S., which drives culture around the world. We're more powerful than we think we are and that we know we are. And that, you know, I'm going to really, I may even change my ideal world is, you know, us on top, us winning.
Arlen Hamilton is a venture capitalist. Arlen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.